Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, if you have just tuned in to the show, good, because the show is just coming on, so that's great. I'm glad you just tuned in. You have tuned in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Coach Lalisa. Or you can also listen to the show via the phone. All you have to do is dial 347-945-7991. Well, it's been a crazy weekend. I'm telling you, nonstop. Friday was at service from 5 o'clock p.m. to 11 o'clock, almost midnight. And then back at it on Saturday. No, I'm sorry, Friday. No, I don't know what time. No, Friday. Actually, we started Friday at 8. Oh, Friday we went from 8 to probably about almost 10-ish. And then Saturday night, 5 o'clock p.m. until 11 o'clock p.m. And Sunday, all morning, Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning, service. All stay there throughout the middle of the service. And then a second service, stayed in between services, rather, to the second service that started at 5 o'clock. And we got out of there at a good time so people could go home, but no one really wanted to leave. We were waiting to see if the Holy Spirit was going to move another service, because listen, Saturday we just let him have his way, and we had three services in one. I'm telling you, the people were hungry. No one wanted to leave. Well, I can't say no one, but everyone who wanted to stay, stayed, I should say that. But what an awesome, awesome, awesome time. There is no one who stayed whose lives will stay the same. Whoever stayed, their lives can't stay the same. It was just amazing. So definitely looking forward to hearing from sister that I met at the conference, Erica, who had to go fly back to Chicago. So praying her travel grace and mercy. Just, you know, amazing. She probably is getting on her flight right about now. But it was just amazing. And, you know, you just, it was a women's conference. And I mean, really, it was off the chain. Well, that was last weekend. It was awesome. Now, this weekend coming, we have yet another awesome event. We have a Small Business Women's Expo and Conference happening this Friday and Saturday at the Wyndham Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. I'm so used to doing events at the Wyndham. I'm sorry, it's at the Marriott Courtyard on Route 1 and 9 South. Route 1 and 9 South. At the Marriott Courtyard, right there on Route 1 and 9, across from the highways. It's near the Newark Airport, but it's not the one that's inside the Newark Airport. So make sure you have the distinction between the two. And we are going to be there with the first Northeast area, this New Jersey, I should say, Small Business Women Expo. Come out, support your small business owners. There will be price range for everyone. You will be able to find something in your price range. Also, if you are a business owner, please check with us to see if we still have tables left. You can call me personally or go to my inbox on Facebook. Go to Facebook, inbox me, and I will give you more details but the vendor tables are only $50. So I'm not sure how many we have left. So call me today if you can to reserve your spot. Also, this is the best time in the world for all of you who want to take risk to be a business owner, to come out, whether you have products for sale, whether you have a service to provide. Please. Oh, good morning. Good morning. I see.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you doing?
Oh, coming down off of a very powerful weekend, as you can imagine.
I see. I didn't want to come in until you got finished, you know, talking and things. So I was standing in the sidelines waiting.
Oh, so yes. Well, let me just formally welcome Chaplain Denise Jenkins to our show. We're going to be talking about a very important yet sensitive topic, but very important topic today. We are talking about the impact and the effects and the awareness of domestic abuse, domestic violence. You know, October is not only celebrated as Breast Cancer Awareness Month and probably several other things as well, but Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So there are all types of workshops and conferences happening this month, and right here on the Coastal Elisa Show, we are also lifting up this very, very important topic so that we can put an end to this. I know we can do it. We can put an end to domestic violence. Oh, yes, we can. And we have people like Denise Jenkins and her team, and she's going to tell you all about the projects that they're working on. But she is coming to us from the Cleveland, Ohio area. Now, I know she may not be specifically in Cleveland. I know there's lots of parts to Cleveland, but that region, for those of you who are in North Carolina or California, Dallas, or wherever you may be listening at, she's in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And she's going to tell you how to support her project. She's going to tell you about their new book, their campaign, the many years that they've already held events. She's going to introduce some of her team members. You know, it's nothing like working together in a team with people. You can get more done with a team. And so I am just excited to be her friend. She's been on the show before. You know, we've done some great things together. I'm actually looking forward to coming up there, Denise. I can't wait. You just don't know. I am so, so excited about coming up there October the 29th for your Beyond the Abuse project, and I can't wait till you tell everyone all about it. So, you know, you have so much going on for you, the things that God is doing in your life and the area that you're working in, helping women, their families, helping the youth, you know, talk about your Sanctuary CEC project. Oh, my God, the events. I was just talking about you over the weekend. Well, you know, Denise, I can hardly preach a sermon or do a workshop without mentioning you. You know, come on, it's not possible. You know that. I can't do it. You know, I can't because, for one, you know, the book, God's Plan for My Success, you know, that book wouldn't have never been written in 2004 had you not, you know, offered me the opportunity to come to Cleveland and speak at that awesome conference you had. So, you know, I got to talk about that. And then there's other things in which we've done together. The small business women seminars and workshops that you've held. You know, I got to talk about those things. And so, you know, hey, God is good. So anyway, everyone, this is my girl. This is, listen, we're not homies, but, you know, it's so funny that you're in Cleveland. I grew up in Ohio, but we met in New York. So, you know, see, God can do things that you can't even imagine. But I'm going to turn it over to you now, Denise, and let you tell us all about your projects and what your vision, you know, what you're doing, why are you doing this, and what do you plan to accomplish, you know, with what you're doing? People can connect with you and Tell us your story, how you got involved in this. Why? Why you? Why are you doing what you do?
Why me? Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Alisa, for opening up the door to allow us to have a forum to come and speak. It's people like you that allow us to have a voice and to reach the audiences and the mainstream people that we may not be able to reach. You know, we can't do all things and be all places, but with networking and with connecting and doing a community connection and by just being able to have friends like yourself, we can have a voice in several different places. I first thank God for allowing us to connect and to meet those many years ago. Even through tragedy, there was, and through pain, God made purpose and gave us a promise for us to produce some things. And that's what was happening when me and you met, because my mother had just died, and I was there in the hotel when me and you met. And I know some of your listeners has heard our story, how God set us up and connected us by an elevator with a T-shirt and a pen, because you looked at my T-shirt and I saw your Toastmasters pen and it was like shoot. But I think our spirits connected even before our eyes did. Because it was just a Holy Ghost connection, and that's what our friendship has been. And I thank you, and I value that. Now, getting to October, which is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, one of the things that the Sanctuary CEC is doing, we are a nonprofit organization that our mission statement says that we're ministering outreach. Service used to facilitate many forms of Christian entertainment, leadership training, workshops, and social events. So in those areas, the workshops, the leadership training, the social events, even in those areas, we touch a multitude of people because we have to. It's just what God has put on my plate. And one thing, being a domestic violence survivor myself, on so many different levels. And when I got involved in it, I didn't even know, my mind thought that abuse just came in one form. Lalisa, I thought abuse was just a physical thing. I had no idea that when I really started getting into this and really learning and educating myself, like I would like to educate your audience today, they need to understand what abuse is. And they need to know the different areas of abuse. And abuse is a pattern. It's physical and it's emotional. It's violence. It's the behavior of one person trying to exercise their power to control somebody else. And abusers, they use all types of things. It could be verbal abuse. It could be emotional abuse. It could be financial abuse and resource abuse. Can you imagine? Somebody
well,
taking
you know
the money
what?
Away. That's abuse.
Well, you know what? With that being said, Denise, you know what? There's a whole lot of abuse then in the world, in this country.
Yes.
Let's just stay right here for a minute. In this country, when you talk about somebody wanting control, there's so many people who are competing for control of others' lives, from the jailhouse to the White House, from
That's
the courthouse.
Great.
From the courthouse to the church house, to my house to your house. There are so many ways, but oh my goodness.
Yeah, see, and it's not just sexual or physical, but like you just tapped on, it's spiritual too.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's forcing you to believe in a type of religion, or if somebody's putting your religion down, or if even somebody's using religious practices to control you, or they quote the scripture, to beat you up, to justify what they're doing. That's spiritual abuse. See, the Bible ain't supposed to beat you up. All right? So that's spiritual. So there's all types of form. And if these things are, if people are making you, or if a person, and it has to be a pattern now, if a person is doing this day in, day out, if they're trying to control you in any of those areas, verbal, emotional, financial, sexual, physical, or spiritual, it's abuse. And guess what? It's It's against the law.
Mm.
It's against the law. They're not supposed to do that.
You're
and
right,
babe. Whatever state you live in, and I'm quite sure, just like in Ohio, that domestic violence law, domestic violence is a crime.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Domestic violence, you know, it says for us that no person shall knowingly cause or attempt to cause physical harm to a family or a household member.
Mm.
You know, no person can recklessly cause serious physical harm to that family or family member. And then no person can threaten to force or shall knowingly cause a family or household member. You don't even have to, you kind of see what I'm saying? If you live in the house with this person, if you're their family, even if you're not their family, but you're in the house and they're intimidating you physically, if they're threatening you physically, it's against the law here. And it says that violators will go to jail. So that means that if your spouse or your ex-spouse or your parent or your child, if you are a step-parent or a step-child, anybody, and that includes boyfriends, girlfriends, that includes children, hurting children. That's domestic violence. It's a crime. It's not supposed to happen. Love is not supposed to hurt, LaLisa.
Mm.
It's not supposed to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our relationships in our families and in our homes are supposed to be godly.
Mm.
You know, we were supposed to have healthy relationships.
Well, I tell you, Denise, you know, we have to get the word out because, you know, my Bible tells me that you train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's old, it won't depart from it. So people have trained up. And then so the adults that are having children have to begin to train with every generation. We always have another opportunity to get it right.
Right. You are so absolutely right.
As people are having your children, mothers, fathers, caregivers of kind, I beg you and urge you to get these words, get this message, and do it right. Forgive yourselves for what you did wrong or the mistakes you made in raising or whatever, whoever, forgive those who didn't raise you properly.
Right.
But that excuse that you can't do it right. Fathers, if you mistreat your wife or that child's mother, what can you expect but them to do the same?
That's right.
Mothers,
it's a pattern. And
it
we
is.
Have to break those cycles, LaLisa. We have to break those cycles because if we don't, then our legacy for our children and their children's children will be violence and chaos.
Yes, and it's already there.
Okay.
And we have to, it's so chaotic now, you have children who beat up parents. That was a type of physical abuse, especially in the Black family, we thought would never happen.
Hmm.
We thought we'd never see the day that our children were abusing the parents because we always had such a perception or portrayal that we're such stern. We were so stern when it comes to that. Boy, you better not hit me, you know. Girl, I'll knock you out, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, it was very rare. I don't think I've ever heard of a child hitting their parent when I was
coming along.
Nowadays, it's very, very, very common. And some parents even live in fear of what their children do. But go ahead. Yes.
No, I was just saying, I was just totally agreeing with you that it has changed and we have to change those things back. We have to become more nurturing and loving and understanding. We have to have open ears and closed mouths sometimes when it do come to our children so we can understand what's happening with them. You know, our kids are angry on so many different levels. I think that's why they strike out, because nobody's listening. And you know, most people who are in that type of situation where they can't get anybody to pay attention, then they ultimately, you know, lash out and do things to get the wrong attention. It's, you know, me and you've been working in these types of environments for a long time. But one thing I want to say, the good news is that there's a lot of different resources that can help. Education is key. Prevention is key. So there's a lot of different things that we as parents, as teachers, as practitioners, as ministry workers, as friends, as neighbors, there's a lot of things that we can do to help stop it before it starts. And then if we see someone in it, then there's interventions that we can take. And then there's transitions that we also, there's some strategical transitions that we can make to help people go from being victim to victorious, from being vulnerable to working in such a way that they have vitality and vigor and they can move on. Because they have to understand that this is not God's purpose for them, to live under this,
to
live under this type of duress. It's not it.
But, you know, this is so serious because, you know, we take 1 month of the year to deal with the most diabolical problem that is happening in our communities, in our homes, in our families. That happens all year. I mean, you have witnessed right there in Cleveland, Ohio, you have witnessed the murder and the death. Women, right in your, you had like somebody who lived, I think you had somebody who lived in your neighborhood or something that was murdered by this her boyfriend, husband. Then you had the woman that had did some training, had trained you in some of the areas that you now work in the psychological fields. You know, she was like a marriage counselor, and then her husband that she was estranged from comes in and murders her. And then you have the woman whose body was found where your sister was working in the dumpster.
Right, in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and you know what? There are stories like that, just not from me, but from everyone. The one incident that you're speaking of was I worked for a young lady who ran a marriage and family counseling service, because the predator is so cunning, they'll come in doing everything right. Until they figure that they get you, they have you, and that they have control of you, then they'll switch. I call it the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde approach. And this young woman, who was a professional, she was a practitioner. She was a marriage and family counselor, and some people was like, how could she get caught up in that? And she was a marriage and family counselor. You know, how could she, you know, fall for him? Because she was human. And because we're all human and we all make mistakes. You know, if she had been perfect with a perfect relationship, then she would have been God, you know, she would have been God herself. And that's not the case. I don't care whether you're a crackhead on the street or whether you're a judge sitting on the bench. It could happen to anybody. Let's get that straight. It could be. And then guess what, LaLisa? It's just not a female problem. But it's a everybody problem because it can happen to men. It happens to men. It happens to women. It happens to girls, boys, and transgender relationships. It's running rampant. Domestic violence and that abuse is worse than any of the relationships that a man and woman deals with. So it's happening all across the board. And I really believe that we have to use our voices. One reason that the Sanctuary CEC also got involved, not just because my mentor and my boss got killed, the young lady I did my internship with, it was that I just need to stand up and use my voice because by watching them die, I learned that I was not utilizing or my influence or my power. So the Beyond Abuse Project was birthed. And that was something me and you did. You came up one year, the very first year, and did the workshop for me, remember?
Yes, Denise, I remember. Love you.
Yeah, and it turned out to be a half a day workshop, and you came in and you were our keynote speaker and you spoke, and it was really, really good. That next year it grew and it kept, you know how things go. You plant the seed and God gives the increase and it starts watering it and he starts watering and it starts blossoming. And this project has grown into just that. It went from an event to the project itself. And what the Beyond Abuse Project is the opportunity for domestic violence advocates to utilize their own voices, life journeys to impact, educate, and empower others to utilize their influence to save those who are still suffering at the hands of their abusers. So how do we, so go ahead.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You, I tell you, but go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, one thing we were trying to, you know, people were like, well, how are you going to achieve that? Well, by utilizing our voices. And through a series of different projects, this is what we are doing. One of the main projects that we do this event every year, and that's the event that you're coming to this year. We host an annual event the last Saturday of every October. Last year, it outgrew my office, and my office is not a small place. We held, we had about 200 or more people there that day. We had vendors everywhere. People came in from all over. We had testimonies. We did a panel discussion, a confidential Q&A, and we also did something that others don't do. We actually do an aftercare service. And that aftercare is my friends, the clinicians and the practitioners and the counselors and the social workers, they came in and they gave an hour to 2 hours of free counseling to help those that are in need. Then we also had set up that day, which we'll have this year, if they don't want to go home, and this is key, guys, we don't try to fix the situation because we can't make up anybody's mind, but we do give them an open door. And they have to walk through it. So we partnered up with a couple of local shelters. And for those that had made up their minds right then, they didn't have to go back. They actually could go to the resources that would help them save their lives. Because what people got to understand, it's a dangerous situation. And leaving that situation is more dangerous than staying in it. Don't take that lightly. You know, some people be up there announcing, I'm getting ready to leave you. You know, I'm getting ready to take this and make that. And if you're living with somebody that's been beating you across the head, been taking all your money, they don't want to hear that because then you're taking their power.
And you know what? That's
mm-hmm.
that you said, because we had a situation up here where a husband, you know, maybe over the years had really not been hitting the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he still took a gun and murdered her,
and okay.
then murdered himself. You have to come to these kinds of conferences to hear whatever God has for you, because
that's
there
right.
are so many. As a matter of fact, I believe my topic when I come up there is going to be dealing with what are some of the signs of
yes.
abuse, and they're so varied. It's like you would need a graph. And you just plot two coordinate points. And anywhere on that graph, that point may land using any various
okay.
combinations. You know, he's quiet. He can still be an abuser. She's quiet. She can still be an abuser. He's, you know, he's violent. He's angry. He can still be. So there's so many combinations that
yeah.
people need to know. I'm not coming with all the combinations. I'm not coming
mm-hmm.
with all the, but I'm coming with some advice about how to detect any sign. But go ahead.
Yeah, because recognizing the abuser is key. And then even with that, even with us educating, there's still, you know, we try to tell as much as we can. We try to inform them and give them as much information that we can give them. But believe me, it's a hard situation for some people. Excuse me. It's a hard situation for some people to leave. Some people believe that they're the cause of their own abuse, and that's not the case. And people got to understand that they have to forgive themselves. Honestly, you got to forgive yourself and move forward. It's not your fault.
And sometimes people, I've seen where people, because I did this, where you translate I don't want to leave into it's my fault. So in other words, because you don't want to leave what you have, maybe what you have for some reason is some type of security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, some kids have a security blanket, and the parents have a hard time getting that blanket for the child, even though that that child sucking on that blanket may be making them sick. But
okay.
They cannot get that blanket out of that child's hands because the child is a security system. But that's how some people's bad relationships are. There is a security system, but in order to hold on to it, they then translate that somehow to it's my fault. You know, I married the wrong person, or I deserve this because I won't make love to him, or I deserve this because I'm not a good housewife or good house husband, or whatever the case may be, because we know it is happening as well as to men, though for a long time we did not have as much statistics because men do not report it as often. So we don't have as much statistics. And a lot of times in those situations, just naturally, men are, you know, always kind of thought of to be a little bit more physical than
right.
a woman. People, you know, never really thought of it. Okay, well, she's abusing him, but we know it does happen. Same as it happens, because abuse is not about physical power, because it's more emotional and mental in terms of that control. But you're just, you know, you're doing an amazing work up there in Cleveland,
Amen.
Ohio, and around
Amen.
The nation. You have this. You have your book. Now you guys have this awesome conference, and see, here's what people need to hear, Denise. And
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons why I so love what you do, and I so love that God brought us together. I love how you don't mind starting with something real small. You know,
right.
you just started with your one workshop right there mm-hmm. in your office. Right, I tend to forget about that sometimes, but I. Thanks for reminding me, you know, came up there and you had that, you know, group of women there,
right.
maybe 15 or 20 women or whatever, I don't remember exactly, but,
mm-hmm.
and now look at you, now hundreds and hundreds of people. So, mm-hmm. and as a matter of fact, for those listening who was at the conference over the weekend, if you heard me preaching and I talked about going to Cleveland, Ohio, to where I had the book and there were hundreds and hundreds of women, close to 1,000, I don't know how many, but I know it was definitely close to 1,000 women. I'm speaking right now to the, you're listening to her. This is the woman who had that event. And I tell you, it's just an amazing work. But so many other stories I could tell them about the work you're doing. I mean, how you were able to pull people together.
Yeah.
You know, you amaze me. I love coming to Cleveland just to watch you work. You know, this is a lady who, you know, had us picked up in limousines. Here's a woman who, you know, and she did all this, and she didn't have, you know, whatever, but she knows how to get stuff, let me tell you. She had us picked up in limousines. You heard me tell the story about the photo shoot and the book,
yes.
all of this stuff that she does. You absolutely amazing. I mean, you're in her office. She's making conference badges for people. She's got in her office on her desk. She's making folders and pamphlets and anyway, go ahead. You're all
no. It's not me. There's first of all, it's God Himself who has inspired to put a good work in me. I don't puff myself up. Because I'm a servant, first and foremost. And then I'm not doing it by myself. There's women who have joined me, because that's the only way you can let it grow is to take your hands off of it and give it and trust in God enough to let other people come in to help. You know, you can't micromanage anything, and you can't have a closed fist on anything. If God has given you a vision, and open up your hand. And let God do what He's going to do, and let Him bring the people in. Some will stay, Lalisa, and some will go. Some will
mess up.
And you know what I'm saying?
Seen that with, yeah. But you know, here's the thing: you're doing this awesome project. You got judges, and you got all kind of people up there in Cleveland, and you seem to know everybody in Cleveland. But here's the thing: I can't figure out yet why. As a matter of fact, that conference was. I was on the platform. Denise, had me on the platform
ma'am.
with Dolores Presley, okay?
Yes.
And many people on Facebook, they know Dolores Presley. If they don't know, they can easily look her up. You can just put her in Google. You had me speaking on the platform with Dolores Presley and Karen Taylor. Now, you don't have to tell the story because I know we don't have all. But you talking about me, the nobody, flying up on a podium with people like that, speaking, just the three of us women. And I'm looking at God, what are you doing? How did you let me meet this lady in an elevator? And that was the morning that I had been throwing up. Like, I thought I was going to die that morning. But here's the thing. I don't understand why that they are not flying you all over the country to do leadership workshops with nonprofit organizations or small groups. Because you know, any chance I can get you here in New Jersey to do a conference like that, you have come and you have done conferences. We're expecting you in Cincinnati on November the 5th. Now, I hope you're here, ladies. We got this church. It's in Kentucky. Didn't you go with us to Kentucky once?
Yes, we went to Kentucky.
In the church.
We did. Yes, we did.
That's where we're going to be with Bishop Darren Miller. We want you there with your books and your women, whoever you come with. I don't care if you come by yourself, but we already got a place for you. It's already been announced. So, you know what? But you have such, my God, your gift. And for Pastor Rebecca, I think she's met you at least once or twice. Pastor Rebecca, you know Denise is also Toastmasters. So, but you have such a gift of administration. And I'm not going to expose all your stuff, but I know that you have prepared and laid some foundations for a ministry that has gone from 150 members to over 20,000 members within a 10 to 15-year period. So listen, I want you, if don't nobody else want you, but you know what, I already got you, so hey, it ain't no big deal. But I know they all want you up there.
Amen. I thank you for that. Well, the Beyond Abuse Project, that's what it has done. It has grown, Lalisa, from that half a day workshop into there are so many entities of the Beyond Abuse Project now. We have implemented a domestic violence support group. We've successfully trained so far 8 facilitators to do the support group. We have the blessing of the Domestic Violence Child Advocacy Center, which is the hub for domestic violence in Cleveland. We wrote a book called Beyond Abuse. That project started the day at the end of last year's conference. God just put it on my heart, and one of my seniors was there, and he said, I need more information. And he put it in my heart and said, this needs to be a book. So everything that we did that day, the topics, the testimonies, the subject matter, the national resources that we gave out, the strategies, the empowerment, the motivation, all of those things, even down to the prayer, are in that book. And our book is being launched this month. So those things are in there. And I did not do that by myself. It's a collaborative writing. See, people got to understand that you don't have to do stuff by yourself. Take your hands off and let God use his people. There is 7 different writers that helped me to produce Beyond Abuse novel. Plus, there's a poet. There's 2 poets. And now, within the last few weeks, we had an artist come board that he's allowing us to use his interpretive artwork to go inside that book.
Wow.
So it's awesome. Wow. I mean, it's just something. And because we know that the Beyond Abuse Project is not a Cleveland project, it's not the Sanctuary CEC's project alone. For this thing, for our life's journeys to impact, educate, and empower others to utilize their influence to save those who are still suffering in silence, we know that we got to take this show on the road. That's one reason why we're partnering up with you. That's one reason why we're asking that we're on the radio today. If you need us to come to your city or your town, to your schools, to your churches, we will come. Because we are not afraid to share our stories. We are not afraid to, we got a thing. We're calling ourselves sheroes. And let me tell you what a shero is. A shero is spelled just like a hero with an S on top. So it's S-H-E-R-O. And shero, it's survivors heard everywhere releasing others. One of the girls coined that for me. It's called shero. We are actually called sheros because we're survivors. And we're going to be heard everywhere to releasing others. So we're going to be releasing, I got to use your words, their power to get up and save their own lives or to get up and impact someone to get out of that situation. Because we got to speak up, LaLisa, whether you're in domestic violence or not. Because if you're on the outside looking in, then you can speak on that thing. But please speak in a manner of what you know. At first, the first thing you ask them is, are they safe?
Okay.
And that phrase right there, you don't know how much impact that has on a person's life. Because if they're not safe, and if you don't know nothing else, but then you need to call 911, then you've impacted them. You don't have to be a professional. Just ask them the question, are they safe? And then tell them to call 911. 911 is the universal code for help. That's as far as they got to go. And that's it. And then it's up to that person to get out of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then let, because you done, now you done planted the seed. Now you done stirred up something in them for them to look and say, well, dog, well, maybe, you know, this situation ain't for me. Now, if you have had some training in it, and if you want training in it, we also have advocates who train other advocates so that they know what to speak correctly, and we'll bring that to you.
You gotta know
there
that.
There is some training. Mm-hmm.
There is. You gotta have that training, people. Be aware that when you are dealing with a person in domestic violence, it is very, very, very sensitive. Because everybody probably heard of cases where, you know, you can tell someone to leave, and then that person go home and begins to pack, and then the person who is leaving, don't get it twisted. They may beat you, when they're beating you or hurting you, you may think they don't love you, but one thing is for sure, they don't want to lose you. You know, they don't want to lose their punching bag. They don't want to lose the person that they could take out of their misfortunes and their low self-esteem or whatever is causing them to be an abuser. They don't want to lose that. And more than likely, if it's a relationship, they know ain't nobody else going to put up with that. So
that's right.
Trust me, you see that cycle of abuse. You know, they don't want you to go. So you can't just go telling people, leave. Now, again, you have to do it with training. That's why Denise is saying there are trained advocates. Know how to help a person. If you know, every time I got beat really bad from a man in my life, it was more than once, it was because I left right there in their presence.
That's right. And LaLisa, I have to say this too. I have to say this, that even in churches, in our churches, we try to help people. You know, from a spiritual level. But even in our churches, there needs to be training on how to leave an abusive relationship or how to take the safe steps to leave. So just because you're spiritual and because you may have, you know, your doctrine in this and your doctrine that, if you have not yet been trained
And the training is free. Almost every county has, you want to become a domestic violence advocate or helper, you can get the training free. It's not a major. It's not like going to get a PhD or a bachelor's degree. It's just knowing the nuances. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we learned at home growing up about it or from grandma and them, you know, is a little bit different today because people today are taking the short way out on everything. And so
okay.
take a gun and to kill you or to strangle you to death. But some people really have that in their mind. If I can't have you, no one can.
That's right. And I would like to, there's a couple of numbers. I'm going to give them our number. If they cannot get the training, then we will come.
We'll train them, sure.
We will come and train. We will come and train and equip the Beyond Abuse. Like I said, the Beyond Abuse Project, we want to reach our goal by targeting 10 cities just to start. So we are going to be taking this project on the road to gain access to other domestic violence advocates, because you may not even know this is what your call is yet, but you always know you want to help somebody. So yes. Then help somebody this in this manner. It's also a great tool for healing, because we have survivors. Everybody's not a professional in the domestic violence in this Beyond Abuse Project, LaLisa. We actually have survivors working. I'm a survivor. So we actually have survivors telling stories, breaking that barrier down, that barrier of shame and guilt and hurt and defeat and depression and loss. We actually tell our stories so that we can help them restore their voices and get their lives back. You know, and I count it an honor that God gave us this type of gift of life, because that's what it is. It's a gift of life.
Well, here's the thing, and you're right, and I just want to just, before you give out those numbers, and I just want to take a moment to welcome those to the show. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Chaplain Denise Jenkins. She's the CEO of the Sanctuary CEC. The CEC stands for Christian Entertainment Complex, and she has many, many, many projects of wholesome entertainment events that she puts on for the family. She is also a minister, a preacher, and wait till you hear her sing. That's a gift. I know she doesn't use it as much. Her husband also has his own gospel singing group. I've heard them sing. They're awesome and wonderful. That's what you're listening to right now. And she is on Facebook, but I also wanted to welcome those who are listening via the chat room. God bless you this morning, those of you who are on the phone lines, those of you who are listening some other way. I did get a message from someone on Facebook who is listening, and that person is enjoying what you're saying. They said, yes, we need it in the church. With leaders in the church need to know, because abusers do come to church, and we know of some horrible, horrible stories where abusers murdered people right there in the church. I know people that were murdered right there in front of the congregations. So it does happen in and out of the church. And they're also enjoying your definition for sheroes. So good morning and welcome to each of you. But go ahead, Denise.
Okay. I know our time is, and I hope you'll allow us to come back. I think we're going to come back Wednesday to continue this conversation.
Right. Wednesday, you'll be back on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll be back on Wednesday.
And Friday, yes.
And Friday. So we can't just do all of this in one session, LaLisa, because it's just too much. Because one thing I would like to also do is share some things with your audience about how to recognize some of the warning signs of a batterer, as well as some safety tips. You know, and then also maybe in the next segue, we can do how helping a friend who is in an abusive relationship, how you actually can help a friend. You know, just giving them some real easy, safe ways to help them. But our event this year, which will be in Cleveland, we partnered up with a wonderful ministry called New Freedom Ministries, Pastor Tanya Fields Brooks. She's opened up her doors to her church, and we can house about 700 people. We're going to do a youth initiative this year, because it's real important that our children also understand some of the things that they're dealing with that they may not understand or may think is okay. It's not okay to go on a date and be raped. It's not okay for that boyfriend to smack you across the head. You know, it's not okay for him to make you do sexual favors for his friends, you know, and then do it and then tape it or film it on his cell phone and then put it on Facebook. That's not okay. our children also need to understand, and in our next segue, we're also going to be talking about human trafficking because it's running rapid now, Lalisa. The sex trade in our youth, environment, that is in an all-time high. Our children need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have more youth out on the street now. We never had this when I was growing up. You didn't have this many teenagers running away from home or leaving home. Now you have so many youth. That's how come it happens. That's why it was so prevalent in other countries, because the youth were just left. And what else was going to happen to them? What did you think was going to happen when they're just left out on the street? Well, in this country, when you got your 9-year-old daughters and what have you just out on the streets, or your 9-year-old boys with no parents at home, well, what did we think was going to happen to them? The devil was going to love them and care for them?
No. Going to use them up. And there's so many things on TV, and I know October is also slated for National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I don't want to take that away from those women who fight that fight, because that's a good fight. But it's also National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, October. And if you see purple ribbons, the purple is the color.
Well, some of it's connected. They say that there are studies that show that women who have breast cancer, there is some correlation with women that have also been abused.
Wow. Okay. Amen. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, your body gets bruised and beaten and broken. I met this lady last year. Her husband had beat her so unmercifully that she could not even sit up straight. That her body now is like a shell of itself, where she's humped over in a wheelchair because he had beat her and stumped her and kicked her and knocked her down so many times over so long of a period. Because women and men have to understand that this is something that happens over a course of time. You know, the abuser just don't come in and say, hey, I'm going to beat you on the head, you know. No, that ain't how that happens. The abuser is very cunning. He's like the enemy. Matter of fact, he is the enemy. I do a segue myself in the book called Sleeping with the Enemy. And they are very patient. They take their time. And when they think they got you, or when they think you have to depend on them, that's when they strike. And because as women and men and any type of, you know, any person, we are shamefaced sometimes into telling people, you know, well, how you doing? You know, well, I'm doing okay. Our relationship is fine. We're fine. We're fine. That's a lie. Tell these people the truth so that you can get help. And also one thing, as our culture, Lalisa, you know, when we was growing up, what stayed in the house, what happened in the house stayed in the house. Remember that saying?
Oh, yeah.
Some things didn't. In the black culture, it was well known that, you know, if something happened in your house, it stayed behind closed doors. That's a lie. You need to open up that door and let that out. You need to let somebody know that you're suffering in silence. You need to let somebody know that you're afraid to go to your own bed at night. You need to let somebody know that the reason why you always covered up with long sleeves and pants is because you're afraid to show the bruises. Because they're not going to bruise you, you know, in places, most of the time, in places where people can see. And then if you see somebody like that, if you see somebody's demeanor or character change, and they're in a relationship, and you know, if your spirit, please use your discernment, people. Because if spirit kind of calls out to you, because that's what God gives us, then speak that. Ask the question, are you safe?
Well, when we come back on Wednesday, because we only have a few minutes left, and I want you to give out those numbers, but when we come back on Wednesday, we're going to, like you said, we're going to discuss some of those safety tips, we're going to discuss some of the signs, and we're going to discuss some of the dollars, the millions of dollars, of domestic violence is like probably a $1 trillion industry, from the hospital visits to the police that are called in, to the medicine that people have to take, to the days called out from work, lost time at work, lost productivity on the job. It has gotten so, I'm telling you, it's bigger than big.
Yes. Yes, it is. One of the numbers I want to leave you guys with, and real quick, here in Cleveland, October 29th, you can find us on Facebook. Just go to the Sanctuary CEC or either Beyond Abuse. Just type in Beyond, you go to Facebook, type in Beyond Abuse, and you'll get all our information about Saturday, October 29th. Our event is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're going to do roundtables. We're going to have the youth initiative. We're going to feed you breakfast and lunch. But there's the national number. If you are in immediate danger, let me say this before I give the national number. If you are in immediate danger, call 911. Simple as that. If you need to call the National Domestic Violence Hotline, that number is 1-800-799-SAFE. Again, 1-800-799-SAFE. It's as easy as that, Lolisa. I hope that your listeners have someone that they can reach out and touch.
They are, and I believe they are, I believe that the National Domestic Violence Awareness, that number you gave, the hotline number, I believe this year they're celebrating 15 years.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, they started maybe they had answered like maybe two or three calls or something like initially, and now they answered millions of calls, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then next time out, there's a national teen dating abuse helpline as well. And if I could give that number out, it's called 1-866-331-9474. And young people understand that there's help for you. You may not want to talk to someone as old as I am. You might want to talk to your peer, you know what I mean? Someone who is right there at your level, which we are because we survived. But if you want to talk to there's a national teen dating abuse hotline, helpline. It's 1-866-331-9474. But if you are in immediate danger, again, I say call 911. And thank you, Lolisa, for having me this morning and for allowing me to share the Beyond Abuse Project. We'll be back with you Wednesday and Friday. So I hope your listeners come back and listen.
Well, they'll be back, because you know what, Denise, I'm have you. I'm so glad to have you. I'm so honored to have you, and so honored to have been there with you when you did your initial Beyond Abuse workshop. That's
Amen.
Amazing, because when I was being beat up all those years ago, nobody could have ever told me that I would be a part of a project. If I had, I would have been taking notes. I would have been keeping a diary back then. I had no clue, but bless God, and this is just and now to be able to go up there, I talk to my husband, and he knows I'm flying up to Cleveland. I just am amazed how I'm actually speaking on the 20th, and I know you got an article. We'll talk about your article next week, your article that you did that you submitted that you were able to submit to a magazine. Oh my God, what a powerful article. Can't wait, and hopefully you'll bring it, and if you're able to read it or tell people where they can get the article when you come back on Wednesday. And other 90 seconds left to the show, but I want to thank those callers who are on the phone lines. Please, if you can call back Wednesday, if you have problems for Denise that you want her to help you solve. But if you have questions for Denise, please call her. Denise, is there a registration fee for the conference?
No. Beyond Abuse is absolutely free. Our Domestic Violence Prevention, Intervention, and Transitional Awareness Symposium that's being held Saturday, October 29th is absolutely free. So they can go on Facebook or they can call me at 440-342-0742. My number is 440-342-0742.
Well, Denise, as always, you've been a pleasure. You're an awesome. I wish everyone would bring you on and have you as a guest on their show. You know, Kiva Renee and others that I know who have a radio show Lady Diana Flagg and so many others, Alicia, whoever has a radio show, that you get out messages, Pastor Rebecca, so many people, because you first of all, you're just awesome, dynamic, but you're also, you're wonderful guests, too. You work very well with the radio show host. I just love your style. So much love to you, my sister, and God bless you in the work that you're doing.
Okay, see you Wednesday.
Yes,
God bless
everybody. Have a wonderful day. You have been listening to the Coach of Lisa in the Morning, here to empower you, here to motivate you, inspire you, and encourage you to live the life of your dreams. We'll see you back tomorrow morning, same time, same place.